Okay, at 7:14 and 45 seconds, it came across the news that the shutdown is over. Come on, thank God. So you can go to Grandma's house, and Grandma can come see you. And if you work for the government, you ain't got to sweat bullets no more.
But this, you know, something like this is a good opportunity to test your faith.
It is.
Because it's your faith that's tested. And
right.
If some of you wavered and just sort of like, oh, I don't know if, you know, whatever, you don't have to raise your hand. But, you know, that's a good time to say, okay, I need to build myself up a little more because your source and your faith need to stay in the Lord. Amen?
Yes. Now,
and so,
how many?
Because, of course, we were believing not one person would lose their jobs in this ministry. And so, you know, that's where our faith was at. And we just kept going.
That's right. But
God.
See, what happens is that, you know, I tried to teach you all to not participate. They can have now whatever they have next. Just don't participate. What do I mean by that? Don't freak out over what's going on in this society. Yeah, don't sit there and
you
talk yourself into
in your words,
a
your
negative,
words.
You know, situation, worry, wart, and everything. And oh, the world's coming to an end. You know, stop it. There's not
the
one of you that starved during these 43 days, right? Nobody starved, right? Everybody ate some food. Y'all look like you've been eating. Anyhow, nobody was left stranded in New York for 4 days, right? You did get a flight out. Okay, if you had to fly. I mean, you know, you got to.
And give God the glory for that.
Thank God for it. Okay?
You really should. If you, you know, if you have a job, you really should thank God. See, this is another opportunity. You say, thank you, Lord, that, you know, they didn't use it a reason, you know, for the government shutdown to lay me off or something. Because sometimes employers do that. Companies do that. And so
that's good.
Yeah, now, so praise God.
I want to talk about this area right before we get started. I'm going to leave. I really am today. I got the teens. I've told them 3 or 4 times. I'm coming to be with them, and we're going to have a great time tonight. But I want to talk about this month being the month of Thanksgiving. I am convinced that believers are not thankful enough. And that's why you are sorry acting, you're mad acting, you don't enjoy your life. You always got an ugly look because you're always thinking about your problems instead of thanking God. You need to take this month to change that. By the end of this month, you ought to be a happy person. No matter what's going on with you, and you should exude that happiness.
And that's part
instead of looking like some old sorry sucker that got beat in the head before you came up in here. Okay? So we got to stop this, because I'm telling you, we need to be thankful.
And that's part of what we learned on Monday night with the women. We had a great time.
Yes, you did.
We learned about living life. How do you exude this life that God has given to you? If you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then you have the life-giving person inside of you.
Yes.
By way of his spirit. But you have to exude it through thankfulness. That's another thing we could have added to our list. That when you start thanking the Lord, then you're going to exude this life.
That's
and you're
going
to enjoy life.
Right.
Because you're not going to sit around complaining and stuff. In fact, I was reading about the children of Israel and how they just, well, it was really in 1 Corinthians talking about what happened and how, 20,000, something like that fell because of sexual sins or something.
Yeah.
And then it said God was angry with some of them because they were unthankful.
That's right.
They just complained all the time.
And you can just look unthankful sometimes.
Yeah.
You may be, oh, I'm thankful, but you're exuding like your God ain't doing nothing for you.
Yeah, and you're not going to enjoy this life that God wants you to have more abundantly if you're not thankful. So thankfulness is just a part of the life that God has given to you. And that's what Jesus did. He was always thankful to God the Father.
I almost wish we didn't have Thanksgiving.
I mean,
because people think they don't have to be thankful until Thanksgiving Day.
What did Jesus do? Because you started this on thankfulness. What did Jesus do when they didn't have enough to feed the people?
He thanked the Lord for what they had.
He thanked God for what they did have, and then it multiplied.
Right.
And so.
And that's what things know how to do.
Right.
When you start being thankful, they know how to multiply.
And unthankfulness, and I was talking to, we were talking together this morning, we was talking about this, that life that you have. I didn't say all this at the women's meet, but it goes along with it because it's just inside of me. God wants us to enjoy life and it more abundantly. But there's people that we allow around in our circle too, and they can drain the life out of you.
That's right.
The life. And then also you can do it too by being unthankful. Mm-hmm. And you don't know, but it's sipping out of you. When you're not thankful and you're just complaining all the time.
You use an analogy that it's like you got a hole in your stomach and it's just,
and
that
life is
draining
just dripping
out of you. Because you're not thankful. And you end up being all dried up. I don't like dried up acting folk.
So you have to find something.
It's a personal thing.
You have to find something to be thankful about. Okay, because sometimes, you know, you are going through a challenge and everything. And I talked to them about the almost 7 years going through with Pastor Shorter. And I had to find things to be thankful for. And God said,
little things
to be thankful for to keep that life in me. Because I'm telling you, you know, the enemy wanted to drain that life out of me. Because anybody that's a caregiver, I think somebody said that, but it's a lot of work. It's work, and it can weigh on that person. And so you have to, you know, God, that was another thing. Start being thankful. Find something to be thankful for. Because there, even if it's, Lord, thank you, you woke me up this morning. Because we have to really realize every day is a new day. The Bible says his mercies are new every morning. And so every day is a new start for you. And so maybe you blew it the day before, or maybe you didn't do it quite right, or maybe, you know, this or that or whatever. But a new day is a blessing. It's really a gift from God, a new day.
So we can seize
that new day by saying, you know, I'm going to be thankful for this, just that God woke
find
me up
something.
This morning. And when you find something,
find
that God
something.
Will add to it, you know, the Holy Spirit. Because
God,
okay, let me say it like this. And don't you, as a parent, doesn't it bother you or sort of hurt you too when your children are not thankful, you know, and you go out the way to do things for them and everything, and, you know, you're making sure food is on the table, they have a place to sleep, and then you never hear thanks, you never, you know, being thankful. And so, you know, it's really important, and that's why when Father's Day come around, Mother's Day, I just loved it. My kids would, you know, give us little cards. I'm so thankful you're my mom. I'm so thankful you're my dad. I mean, that really, you know, really blesses us as parents. Yeah. And so think about God when we're just complaining all the time. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, he's hurt about it. I believe he's like, come on, you know. I gave you that breath.
Mm-hmm.
Be thankful for that.
That's right.
You know, and so have to find things to be thankful for.
Let me take it where we took it, and you may not remember what I was saying, because the Lord put it in my heart this way, that here you are believing God for healing, but you look so sorry because it hasn't manifested. Oh, I'm still sick. Shut up. And give God thanks, because you don't understand prayer then. Because prayer is not just a petition prayer. Mm-hmm. After you ask God, God ain't hard of hearing. You got to switch that prayer to a thanksgiving. Now I believe I receive what I pray. And you keep saying that. That's the long prayer that continues until it manifests. But you walk around with old sorry head, looking all sorry, like God ain't going to do nothing. You got to act as if it's already happened. And some of you are actors, but you don't act that way. You know what an actor is, a hypocrite, okay? That's what the real
Not
word
is. Not some of them in here, though, right?
Well, I ain't saying some of them. There's some on
Oh, some on
live. No, I'm just kidding. People in general have learned to just have a sorry look. And sometimes I'm saying creep up on a mirror one day.
The mirror you gave us.
And don't change your face before you do. Just slide over and see what everybody else got to put up with your face. And you will probably change it. I mean, some of us, we don't even look at the mirror but once, you know, for 5 seconds in the morning. You need to be checking yourself. You know what I did just a minute ago? You know, because we handed out mirrors in the church get you ready for offering. I took this camera and turned it around just like that. And some of y'all saw me do like this because there was a piece of hair sticking up. See, you got to check yourself. The Bible teaches that in the book of James.
Yeah, it does.
That you go away and forget
the kind of person
person you was. See, you was happy and praising God when you prayed and asked. But now it's taking some time because faith takes time. Yeah. It's taking some time to get there, and you look sorry, and you don't look like your God is working on your behalf. And God put in my heart, start being more thankful. I remember it was 1 year ago this month, I started crying. And this is weird sounding. I know it sounds weird, but somehow it came into my heart because she started the process a couple of months earlier, because this was about 6.5 years. I was sick of this mess of going through this stupid fog. Anyhow, and then she started thanking God for little things that would happen with me. You know, just little things. My mind came back this way. Things were happening, or I'm not going through the diverticulosis like I used to, or I'm not throwing up, or I'm not.
Why didn't you eat?
I wanted to eat, you know, and all of these things. And all of a sudden, she started thanking God for just the little things. Lord, I'll take that one. That's what she would say. I'll take that one. Give you praise in Jesus' name. I'll take that one, Lord. I'll take that one. Just little things that happened. And then it sort of got to me. And I started, when I would sit down for a plate of food, I wouldn't take a picture of it and put it on my Facebook, which I don't still understand. I just don't understand that. But anyhow, you do what you want to do. I would sit in front of that plate, and I'm not lying to you. Nobody's in the room. Maybe I fixed the plate myself. My wife was at the office here. I wasn't coming. And I would cry. Just say, God. And it's not like we broke where we can't afford food. But I'm saying, thank you, God. You provided me for food. I thank you, Lord, for this plate of food. Thank you, God, that you provided. And my heart started changing to where I really thanked God for so many things. I would start thanking God for everything.
Whatever you put in.
And that's when this fog started lifting. That's when my brain started coming back to that's when things started happening, because I was thankful for the little things that was happening. Some of you got some little victories, but you don't even give God praise for that. I'll tell you the little victory you got up this morning with your brain working.
Whatever you put into practice, you perfect.
Oh, that's right.
And so even if you just out of, and that's faith, walking by faith,
right.
And not
after
by
you
sight.
Pray, you got to believe.
And
you
not
receive.
Walking by what you feel, because there's sometimes, I'm telling you, you don't feel like praising the Lord. You know, you're in pain or whatever it is. But if you just find that praise,
Romans,
God said he inhabits the praises
of
his people.
No, 2 Timothy 3:1. Go there.
And you start.
I'm going to leave y'all in a minute, but I got to drop a couple of things.
Yeah, and you start praising the Lord. You're going to get the scripture. I'll be quiet.
I'm sorry, 2 Timothy.
But you start praising the Lord. You start practicing praise. Pretty soon you're perfected.
Because
it'll just become a habit. I mean, you can make good habits or bad habits. And so it'll just become a habit. And after a while, it's like every day you're praising the Lord.
See, there should be a difference between your life praising God and the life of the world.
Yeah.
Like going through all this mess, you shouldn't have got an old ugly look just because of the fact that the government's broke down and shit. They wasn't nothing wrong, wasn't no money missing. They just stopped paying people. There ain't nothing wrong with this country. This country's making a whole lot of dough, especially with these tariffs. You can laugh if you want. Anybody gonna give you billions of dollars? You got some money. I know you ain't supposed to say that because you ain't supposed to like the president. Forget that. I'm praying this president makes it very well, because if he does good, we do good. So you can sit there and turn sideways and all this other stuff. See, I'm for whoever is the president, I'm going to stand for him. Just like whoever's your pastor, you ought to believe for him. We're supposed to pray for kings and all those in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And this is acceptable to God our Savior, who would have all men come to the knowledge of the truth, or to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth.
And the
you
Bible
should be
says,
praying for this president. You shouldn't be talking about him like a dog. And if you are, you're ungodly.
And the Bible says,
or the vice president, or the Congress, or pray for your leaders. And, stop
and the
talking
Bible
about
says,
them.
The prayer of the righteous avails much.
That's right.
So that's why we are assigned to pray for kings and all those that are in authority, because our prayers
that's
avails
right.
much.
Now, yep. But this know that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men, which kind of men? Doesn't say. Men will be lovers of themselves. Lovers of money, boasters,
check.
Proud,
check.
Blasphemers,
check.
Disobedient parents. Do we
check.
Even have to even talk about this?
Check.
Unthankful.
Yep.
You, when you're unthankful, you're being listed with the people that are away from God. You should always go out of your way to be thankful what God has given you. You ain't got enough. Be thankful that you got that much.
Thankful we're at church tonight. Yeah. Isn't this wonderful? We can
thankful
come to God's
that we can
house
have peace
tonight.
In his house.
I love
thankful
it.
Thankful that we
I
have ushers and security watching over the parking lot, making sure everything is safe for you when you go out there. Thank God that you got a pastor who's ready to deliver the word, and the first lady has been studying all day just to be able to give you the word of God. Thank God for that. Thank God that you got some food to eat at home. You're going to go home and eat. You always do that with church. Thank God you got food. Thank God you got some water to drink. You got a bed to sleep in. Thank God for the little things. Find stupid stuff to thank God for. Thank God for your shoes. They fit. For two years of those 6.5 years, my feet swole up, or about a year and a half of that. I got shoes I never could put on. I'm like, what's wrong with me? I don't know. Thank God that your bowels move correctly. I went through that. You know, thank God for that. Because there's people, thank God that when you eat food, this is what happened to me. I've gained weight. I'm losing it again. But I gained weight because I didn't realize that I had diverticulosis, I also had malabsorption, which means that I eat as much food as I wanted to, but my body would not absorb the nutrients. So I was like, not malnutrition, but malabsorption. So I couldn't absorb the B12, the niacin, the B6, none of those things, vitamin C. I could eat as much as I wanted, but I couldn't hold it down. And within 20 minutes, I had to go to the restroom and get rid of it. I didn't throw it up, but it went another way. And that went on for about 6.5 years. But thank God. That he's a healer and that I can eat. And what I had to realize is that what I'm eating is now being absorbed. So I have to modify how much I'm eating because my body is absorbing. And plus I started taking all these vitamins, found out that I was deficient in B12. And B12, for anybody over 60, I take 3,000 milligrams a day of B12. Now, most people take 500 to 1,000 milligrams. I take 3,000 because you can't hurt yourself with B12. Talk to your doctor. Don't do this. Talk to your doctor because you will just urinate it out. It goes right out of your body. But I was deficient for years of B12, which caused my emotions to be very down. It's like it's a downer for you. And for older people, you lose B12. See, now, doctors didn't tell me this. I researched it myself. And the Spirit of God came and said, you're deficient in B12 because you've been malabsorbed. You're malabsorption. And I was deficient in a lot of other things. And I thank God for that he revealed that. Because now, I'm like the ever-ready bunny, man. I'm ready to go. I keep going and going. And some of y'all trying to keep up, but you can't. God has given me my energy back supernaturally, and I thank God.
Amen.
I don't wait for somebody else to say, you should be thankful, Pastor. You ain't got to say nothing. I just thank God. Sometimes I look at a plate of food, start crying again. Thank you, Lord, that it's going to go into me and work in Jesus' name. So I'm telling us, let's all be thankful. Amen?
Amen?
Okay, I'm going to leave you with 29 minutes left of teaching, and I'm going to go upstairs and see our teenagers. I've got an assignment for them. We'll have a good time, okay? Come on, let's thank God. Our First Lady's ready to deliver some word tonight as well. I'm coming back. I won't leave you forever.
Oh.
She loved me.
Yeah, I do. I do. I have to admit, I do.
Oh, God.
Okay, we have been talking about, have fun. Okay, we have been talking about faith. We sort of deviated and we talked about faith. Let's see, we're on verse number 8, Romans 1 and 8. So let's start with Romans 1 and 8. And I'll read that real quick. And then we have a reader tonight. Oh, okay. Dion's a reader tonight. Okay, well, Dion, go ahead and just read verse 8 and 9.
First
Romans, yeah.
First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world.
Okay, so that's where we highlighted that word. No, you're going to finish, but we'll come back around. We highlighted that word faith, and so we deviated. So we're going to talk tonight once again about faith, and then we'll try to move on if we don't run out of time. But go ahead.
For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. Making requests, if by any means now at length I might have prosperous... I might have prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end ye may be established.
Go ahead and read, and we'll stop there. Verse 12.
That I may be comforted together with you by the mutual...
I think, is your... What are you reading from? Because my Bible said encouraged together. What Bible translation are you reading from?
I think I have New King James.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
what? Maybe because I don't have my glasses on. My Bible says encouraged. Huh?
New King James.
New King James too.
Yeah.
Isn't that strange?
Oh, I know.
Okay. That is really strange. Oh, maybe the information we have up here. I don't know. No, because you said. Okay, don't worry about it. Okay, don't worry about it. Okay, go ahead.
That is that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me.
Okay, let's stop there. Okay, let's go back. We're going to talk about faith and we're going to talk about prayer. One thing I really like, he says, your faith is spoken of throughout the world. And you have to say, what do people say about you? Now, of course, we're not living our lives according to what people say about us or think about us, but what do they say about you? You know, and sometimes when people have home goings, you sort of get to know that person if you don't really know that person. And I know, like Deaconess Ruth, it was so easy to say things about her, how faithful she was, how committed she was, how, you know, she just was there all the time. I mean, it's so easy. So you have to say, what do people say about you? Well, they should say that that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world, that your faith is spoken of throughout that family. That you believe in Jesus, and you have faith in God. And that's why it's important, even at work, that we need to be an example of a Christian. And you can't, you know, it's easy to get sort of caught up into all the little side conversations and they're complaining. And maybe I'll use this as an example. Maybe when the government was shut down and then the people were saying, oh, we may lose our jobs, and seeing you could be in that conversation, and did you include yourself in that conversation by saying, yeah, we may just get that pink slip, you know, whatever? Or were you the one that was the light in that conversation and say, you know, even if you can't, you know, preach the you know, pull out your Bible, you can lace your conversation, your words with the scriptures, and you can say, don't fear. See, there's an anointing on that. Jesus said that. Do not fear. Don't fear. He always said that to different ones. And so, you know, and so we have to be a light wherever we go. and people should know of our faith. They should know that people should know that you're a Christian. And it may not be what you say, maybe just your lifestyle. And I remember when it wasn't our first house, but we had a fixer-upper, and we flipped homes. And so we had this one, and we bought it for just $500. And it was in bad shape. And so it had tires like this high on the front yard. It was just dirty inside this house. And we took over that house, and we painted that house. We fixed it up. We tore out the walls. We redid the walls. We did this. We did that. And the neighborhood, people in the neighborhood, they saw what was happening. We cleared the front yard and beautified the front yard. And we actually had neighbors coming, knocking on our door. People wouldn't even know. We opened the door, and they said, we don't know you. My name is so-and-so. I know you're a new neighbor, but you guys must be a Christian. I'll never forget this. You must be a Christian. They said, why? How do you know that? Well, because look at this house now. And I'll never forget this person said, can you pray for my uncle? He's sick, and he needs prayer. And just by something they saw, they just figured, these people must be believers. Praise God. So our faith should be seen. Say a big amen. Okay, so let's talk about faith, because faith is in God. And I think we went to, did we go that faith is the substance of things hoped for? Yeah, I think we did. So let's go there. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 1. Okay, so you can read, Dion. And I will go ahead and read. Because we've talked about this last week, okay? So faith is different from what? What do we, hope, okay? So hope is like what? In your own words, you may not could remember what we said. Why is faith and hope different? Because a lot of Christians, they think hope and faith is the same thing. Yeah, that's true. You know, years ago, the older saints in the church, they would say, we're hoping and praying, we're hoping and praying. But we have to get past hope and get into faith. So what do you think hope, we'll add that to somebody else, one more person. What do you think the difference between hope and faith? Okay, that's true. Okay, that's a way to see it, I guess. Okay. And then what did Pastor Don say? Hope is feelings? Yeah. Yeah, sort of what he was saying. So, yeah. Yeah, and what did you have? Yeah, right. So we can all agree that faith is an action, is going to move that hope, okay? So hope is like a goal, okay? Hope is like, okay, I want to work for this company. Now you have to put some faith into it. And faith is an action. So you find out. What are the qualifications they're going to look for? Okay, so I may have to go back to school, may have to take some classes. And that's faith in action. I don't know why people think faith is some, like God, just going to poof something, No, you have to get involved with faith. Okay, you're trusting God. You're trusting God. Okay, God, I'm going to have to take some extra classes to, so I can, up my skills, And so, but I don't have the money, but I'm going to write this down. Hope is writing the things down. And then faith is like, okay, I'm going to believe you, God. I'm going to believe that I'm going to get this money somehow. And then, you know, maybe the job that you're working at, you know, on right now, they're saying, hey, you know what? We get a little bit of money for some scholarships. And I mean, things just start opening up when you start trusting God. So faith is an action. God will always get you involved in the progress. Because sometimes people think faith, you just sit there and you don't do anything. Okay? So faith is an action, and God will always, you will always be a part of the victory. That's a good way the Lord put it. You're going to always be a part of it. Okay? And sort of like what happened with Lazarus. Come on, help me out. He died. He was in the grave. Jesus showed up outside the grave. He called Lazarus. No, first of all, the first thing he did, what did he do? The first thing before he called Lazarus out of that grave. Yeah, he told them to what? Don't you think Jesus could have done that? What did he want? He wanted them to be a part of it. See, because you appreciate things better when you give yourself towards that thing. That's why, you know, sometimes, you know, we put it's free, but sometimes we say, no, even if it's just a small amount, we need to charge because you need to, you have to give yourself towards something sometimes. David said it this way, and I can't remember that scripture. Maybe Pastor Don will remember that scripture. That it's a scripture, it's a powerful scripture. In fact, I'm going to write it down because if Pastor Don don't know, I know Pastor Shorter will remember or think about it. I'm going to write it down because it's a powerful scripture. And David said, you know, because they offered some land for him, and he said, no, I don't want to take this land. He said, because... And I have to paraphrase it. He said, because I have to be a part of this process. So, yeah, I have to give towards this. I have to give, you know, it's sort of like when you're working, you know, making, you know, a paycheck or making your money. I mean, you're giving your body, your time. I mean, you know what I'm saying? You're putting in something so you get something back. No deposit, no return. And so that's why it's important to come to church. You're giving up the time that God has given to you. You're really sowing that time tonight into the kingdom of God. And guess what? God will give you extra time for something. See, whatever you sow in the kingdom, it's a principle. Whatever you sow, you reap. So when you sow your time, when you're laboring, when you're ushering, when you're here opening the door, whatever you do for Christ, you're sowing into the kingdom. It's not just money you can sow in the kingdom. It's your time, it's love, and you get that back. And you may not get that love back from that person, but God's going to make sure that love is going to come back to you somehow. When you sow love, when you sow forgiveness, that forgiveness is going to come back to you. Whatever you sow, you reap. So if you sow your time in the kingdom of God, you're going to get some extra time somehow. Say a big amen. So faith is, it says, now faith is the substance. You can go ahead and finish reading.
Okay. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report.
They obtained what?
A good report.
A good testimony. That's what my Bible says, a good testimony. And see, a testimony, notice the spelling of that word. The first four letters is what? In order to have a testimony, you're going to have a test. And that's why I'm saying, even this, when the government was shut down, that was a test of your faith to see how you're going to react to this thing. And it just helps you to know, okay, I need to just build my faith up a little more if I, you know, was walking in fear or whatever. So a test, you have a testimony because you had a test. And see, you shouldn't share a testimony when it's not fully out of the oven. You have to get the total victory before you share that testimony. And that's when it becomes a testimony. Say a big amen. Okay. And God is with you too. Go ahead and continue to read.
Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God.
So faith must be, your world is being framed by what? The word of God. So if you, you know, and you have to make a decision what kind of world you want to live in. Because you're framing your world by your words. And God, it says that we understand. So, and I love that. Throughout the Bible, when you're studying your Bible, when it says we understand, then you need to really understand what that word is saying. Okay? It says we understand, so we should understand this, that the worlds were framed by the word of God. God said, let there be. And it was. And so your world is being framed by what you say. And we as believers should speak the word of God, of course, to shape our world. It's up to you of kind of world you're going to live in. You know, it was, even with Pastor Shorter going through what he went through, it was really up to me, because I have my own will. It was really up to me to make sure that I was healthy, that I was still praising God, that I was still trusting God. It didn't matter the things he was going through. I had to still serve God. I had to trust God. I had to do all the things. I made a decision to do it. I didn't have to do it. But I made a decision because it was my will. And so every one of us, we have our own wills. Huh? We have a will. Okay? We will to do this. We will to do that. And that's why when people say, well, you know, I don't feel like going to church. Well, that was their will. They allow their feelings to dictate their life. And that's why I'm sorry. I don't feel sorry for people that have that kind of attitude. I just don't. You can't. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I just don't, you know, I just. And sometimes we try to punish God. When things don't go the way we want them to go so quickly, well, I'm going to stop going to church because, you know, I've been going to church for 2 weeks and it hasn't happened yet. I've been sowing, you know, financially. Now, you've been in debt for 10 years and I just gave, you know, $10 and I'm still in debt after a week. See, so I'm not going to do this anymore. And we think we're punishing God like we punish people. And then we get God on the opposite side of us. Because really, I'll show you this. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. Okay, because we talked about that. God doesn't like us complaining. Okay, so in 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, we should be thankful. It's never God. God is never the problem. I said this on Monday. I'm going to say it again so everybody can hear it. God is never the problem. When you can factor that in and say, God is not my problem, then you'll reduce it down to Satan and yourself. And yeah, people could make it a little hard for you, co-workers or whatever, but still, ultimately, it's up to you of what you're going to choose, how you're going to choose to live, how you're going to choose to believe, how you're going to choose to continue on to serve God. There shouldn't be, no one should stop you from serving God. Your spouse should not stop you from serving God. They shouldn't do that, you know. No one should be able to stop you from serving God. God is a priority over anyone on this earth. So if your husband says, I don't want to go to church. Oh, well, goodbye. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to church. I love you, but I'm okay, because God is a priority. Okay, and then in 1 Corinthians 10, it says, I'm going to read this real quick. Says, nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did. This was back where Moses, you know, was just brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. God used them, and they start acting a fool in the wilderness. And it said in one day, 23,000 fell. Okay, so we know God is not into that. And then it says, let us not tempt Christ. I'm trying to go somewhere. And then it says, verse number 10, what does it say? Nor complain, as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. And it says, now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written. See, so all these things are here. But let me go back up, because I wanted you to see this in verse 5. That's where I wanted you to see that God wasn't pleased with this. But with most of because they complained, because they were doing immoral things. So God is not pleased when we're not. Let's go back to Hebrews, because you're going to see this here. Because don't you want to please God? Huh? That should be your main thing in life. If you please God, if that's your main aim in life, you're going to please people that love Jesus. Okay? You're going to be a better spouse when you please God. When you're when you have that kind of intent of your heart, then you will please, you will be a better person. Okay, a better spouse. Okay, so I want to go down to 6. Okay.
But without faith, it is...
Without what? It didn't say love here. It said, but... Okay, go ahead.
It is impossible to please him.
Is impossible...
That he is a rewarder...
So think about what this is saying. Without faith, God is serious about this, huh? It is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe God is, not that God was. Is now. And then the second part of that, and that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And that word seek means to aim after him, make him a priority. And when you make God a priority, see, and I'm going to take this away, some of these sayings that people say, because it's just, I believe... We need to stop saying this is my time. We really are. So how long you gonna live? We're believing God for a certain, live a certain amount of days, years. But you don't really have all that control in your hands. You have some by your words. See, we go around, we are sort of haughty sometimes, say, my time. Well, I'm not giving nobody my time. This is my time. And we sit there, we watch TV, we watch the same old reruns and everything. And that's why some people don't go to church. I'm getting on this. I'm a church girl. I love going to church. You know why some people don't go to church? Because I'm smoke again. Just saying, go to church. You need the word. Because, see, let me say this. Yes, you do, because God said this is what he wants you to hear, because maybe it's something you don't need to use next week, but you're going to have to use this next month. To please God without faith, trusting him. And then he says he's a reward for me. Because I'm seeking God. So there's some benefit seeking the Lord, putting him first. There's some benefit of God, and all these things will be added on God first. And that scripture, do not worry about your clothes, your food, and that scripture saying, don't worry about this, don't worry about that. And it says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, his way of doing. That's what that word righteousness means. His way of doing and being right. And all these things. Is not spiritual. And all these things shall be added, not subtracted from you. God is going to add to you. If you're putting him first and your confession of faith is your on this earth.
Now, if you seek first the things instead of seeking first the kingdom, then you cancel the things. You become your own God because you're trying to provide your own things. So you don't seek the things. You seek him because, see, those things are supposed to be added to your seeking. Does it make any sense?
Yeah, that makes sense.
So if you're going to seek the things, why would God even try to get the things for you?
I like what sometimes people say, seek God, not his hands. I mean, you know, yeah. We're always seeking God. Oh, Lord, give me. And come on, all of us ask God, Lord, I need a better job. Lord, I need a better car. Lord, I need a house. I'm believing God for a house. And God will provide all those things, but we have to keep our intent of our heart right, and we need to keep our seeking right and seek him and not the things.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right.
And you say, well, then how do you diligently seek him?
Right.
How do you do that? Well, you seek him by praying. You seek him by coming to church. You seek him by sowing financial seed in mm-hmm. the kingdom. You're putting him first mm-hmm. in everything you do. As soon as you wake up in the morning, first, God, thank you.
Yeah.
As soon as somebody bless you, first, I'm going to give God a portion. Mm-hmm. Everything is first to him. I seek him first. I seek him first. I seek him. You know, I'm trying to raise my kids. I dedicate them to the Lord. Mm-hmm. I seek him first. He comes first. Sunday morning, instead of staying there watching football, in which you can record all that stuff anyhow. I mean, did you put God first on Sunday morning by going to church? I mean, there's some people, when we have Sunday night service, we have communion service, there's some people that won't go to Sunday morning service, but they'll just come to Sunday night service. I'm saying, see how we do this? I'm going to say, this is, why not give God the first thing in the morning and even the last thing at night? Why not give him the whole day? Why separate that? Well, I'm not mm-hmm. going to go to church twice a day. Why not? You go to the store twice a day, some of you. You run from one store to another trying to get a good deal. You know, they didn't have it over at this store, so they're going to go over to that store. I know because I do it sometimes.
yeah. Mm-hmm. The truth comes out.
Really? And then we can't give God you know, one day, a full day of the Lord. I mean, and I really believe we need to fast our time. So you think about, we have 24 hours a day, all of us have. So fasting around what, 2.5 hours, something like that? We should give to the Lord. Yeah. What do we do for 2.5 hours
right.
that we gave to God? Well, see, some of you are in church, so you can count that. Mm-hmm. That's part of fasting your time.
Right. So, now, I want to talk about what you just talked about, and then we're going to close, okay? Because you talked about seek his hands, seek him.
I can't believe we're already out of time.
What we should really be seeking, the Bible tells us that we should seek his face.
Yeah, his presence.
Mm-hmm. In other words, don't be hiding from him. Now, at the same time, he's seeking your face. Mm-hmm. 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9. Look at this. See, you're wanted in heaven. God had a picture of you in his post office saying you were wanted. It says, for the eyes of the Lord, not the hands of the Lord, because the Lord will provide with his hands, but you got to seek his face. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, not seek my hand. But if you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, he will exalt you in due time. But we need to seek his eyes. We need to seek. And this is what people do when they come to church. They think God ain't watching them. You think you're hiding from God. We found out in the Garden of Eden that don't work. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. For what? God, it's like he's searching consistently. And I believe he does this 24/7. That the eyes of the Lord, they are going to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on the behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. I like it in the King James. Bring me that King James, please, because it says it in a more royal way. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him. You get your heart right with God, seeking him. You seek his face while he's looking for you. Boy, you got something going on. So there's no hiding from God. You can stay home. You can do the live stream stuff, which, you know, COVID's long over. You can come into the church. You know, unless you're in another city, we have people from all over the country watching us, and so we thank God for that. But if you can't get here, then that's a good way to do it. But if you can get here, you need to be in the presence of the Lord, because that's what the eyes of the Lord really mean, the presence of God. And some of us, we don't want to be in the presence of God, because it gets like God's going to find out about me. He already knows about you. Yeah.
When he does find out about her, when
especially
that searchlight stops
what's
right on you,
that's right.
You're hearing the word, and that's love. He
but
said
he wants to show himself strong on your behalf. He wants to bless you. Mm-hmm. He wants to help you. He's not searching you out to be able to punish you.
I think that's the rewarding.
That's
rewards.
Right. I didn't hear that, but you talked about that.
He's a rewarder.
Yeah, he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So the eyes of the Lord, you got to see that God is you. You are valuable. God is searching all over the world consistently looking for people like you. You are not a bother to God. You are somebody special. So why wouldn't he heal you? Why wouldn't he provide you a plate of food? Why wouldn't he help you pay your bills? Why wouldn't he help you to... I mean, we've given cars away to people ourselves. I mean, people give away cars. Ain't no problem. You know. So God will provide for you. His eyes are searching to and fro throughout the whole earth. Now, wait a minute. Get your car. God ain't giving you no car. God will touch the hearts of somebody that's got a car, because God ain't riding no car. Okay? He'll touch the hearts of people. Yeah. And somebody will say, you know, I don't know why I'm doing this, but let me give you the keys. Let's go down, get the registration put in your name. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, deep down inside, they do know what it is, and it sure ain't the devil. It's God that touched their hearts. And that's the favor of God. Mm-hmm. But see, if you run from God, can't get that. That's some of those things. All right,
praise
let's wrap
God.
It up. Go ahead.
So let me give you these three things again, okay? We're going to close on this. So we are saved through faith. That's Ephesians 2:8. You can read this on your own. Make it your own Bible study time. So faith, because we talk about faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. So we're saved through faith, just trusting, believing in God. Jesus, come into my heart, be Lord of my life. I'm living by faith, trusting him. Mm-hmm. And then the Bible tells us in Hebrews 11:1 that we are to walk by faith. That means live. So now we have to learn how to live by faith, okay? Because maybe in your past life, maybe you used to cheat and lie and, you know, use people to try to get things from them and stuff. And you say, you know, I'm not going to do this way. I'm going to live by faith. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to seek God first. And I'm going to depend on him to bless me. And I'm going to do my part. And I know God's going to bless me. And I'll get out of this situation. And then in Romans 10:17, it says faith comes by hearing. This is so important, hearing by the faith, the word of God. So it's important to come to church. Coming to church is not just so you can see a good friend or please the pastor of the church and show up. No, coming to church is business. I'm here to get some faith so I can deal with life, okay? And so I think that's all I have to say to you. I ran out of words. Okay, so let's praise the Lord. Come on, let's thank God.
Thank God that
thank
you're
God
here
for
tonight.
The word.
Come on, we're talking about being thankful. Let's thank him.
Praise God.
Open your mouths. Don't just clap your hands. That's good you're clapping your hands, but open your mouth. Give him some praise. Tell him he's wonderful. Tell him you're thankful.
Thank you,
tell
Father.
Him that you're glad that he's your mighty God in your life in Jesus' name.
Thank
tell
you,
him
Father.
You're thankful that you're part of his family in Jesus' name. Father, we seal this time in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for every person that has received the truth tonight, and the truth makes us free. It causes us to become sprung free in Jesus' name. And so we declare that. And thank you, Lord, that your eyes have been looking. You don't have to look much further than 3211 112th Street East, Tacoma, Washington, 98446. Here they are, the ones you've been looking for as your eyes have been going to and fro throughout the earth to find those who you will be making yourself strong on the behalf of them. You're making them strong so that you get the glory, and we give you the glory. We don't take the glory. We give you the glory for what happens. In Jesus' name we call it. And everybody said, amen.
Let's make this confession. Say, Father,
Father,
I thank you for your word.
For your word.
And I will seek you first.
I will seek you first.
And your righteousness.
And your righteousness.
Your way.
Of doing.
And being right.
And being right.
And I believe.
And I believe.
You will add to my life.
You will add to my
the
life.
The things that I need.
The things that I need.
And my desires.
And my
and
desires.
And I give you all the glory.
And I give you all the
and
glory.
And I will seek you first.
I will seek you
in
first.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus'
amen.
Name. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Praise okay. God. Come on, give God praise. Thank God tonight in Jesus' name. Let's be thankful. Yeah. Whenever you clap your hands, you need to be saying something with your mouth.
Yeah.
Proclaim it. That's what David, that's a whole book of Psalms where God's being proclaimed as great.
The things are added
ways.
To your
amen.
Life.
Amen.
Amen. So all God right. is not going to take away from you. And see, and that's why Job, he said that, but that wasn't a statement of
no.
truth. Job was just, you know, depressed and upset.
That's right.
And he said, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Job said that. God didn't
the
tell
Lord
him
the Lord gives,
same.
But he don't take away.
But he doesn't take
he's
away.
He's not the one.
Okay.
The
so
enemy comes
God.
To steal, kill, and destroy.
And
not,
we know
not
if you
Jesus.
Read that, it was the enemy.
That's right.